Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Michael Gray. It's great to be here today.
As always.
As always. And we've just been running around here, haven't we?
We have. You know, I'm often grateful that it's not television. And people say, well, you know, you do radio. Would you like to tell them? And not really. No,
no
not live television anyway. If there were a camera on this, we would have lost all credibility in the last 5 minutes or so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuned into KZSU Stanford. Program is Open Air with Sherry Huber. We've just been listening to DJ Foe with No Cover, No Minimum. Some great world music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I often think, you know, I like such and such kind of music. And then every time I tune in to KZSU, I think, no, I really like a lot of different kinds of music.
Yeah.
Because you hear a lot of just marvelous stuff that, as most people have noticed, you don't hear in a lot of places.
Absolutely.
It's very fun.
Yeah, KZSU has some great...
Yeah, we're lucky.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, shall we get started?
I'm ready.
All right. So we're going to be talking about anything and everything today.
It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all.
So we want lots of callers with lots of subjects.
Lots of subjects, yes. And we will do a masterful job of weaving them all together to some coherent something.
Yeah, sure.
Great. So our phone number here today is 650-723-9010. I'd like to welcome our first caller from Phoenix. Laura, you're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. Well, where to start? I'm noticing that when I travel, I get very, after about the third day, I get very tired and irritable.
Hmm.
So this weekend was on this trip.
Fun or business?
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fun. And a lot going on, enjoying it all. But I wake up the third day, and I'm just, like, with each day, I notice I'm a little more sensitive, I'm a little more irritable in my body.
Mm-hmm. Shall we just cut right to the chase question?
Well, there are a couple, because the first is...
Well, I was going to offer you one, actually.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what is it that you are resisting that has this cumulative effect?
I don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
Yeah, yet. You'll be watching, won't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I'm hearing at any rate. You go along and it's great, it's wonderful, but there's some it's a little holding back, holding on, keeping something separate. The next day, there's more of that resistance, less, I mean, this may not be extreme, but there's less just being there, going with whatever is going on, relaxing. There's a little more being held back, a little more conditional participation or presence or enjoyment, and then by the third day, there's more resistance than not.
That could definitely be. It's odd because I find that in general, not just traveling, but I notice that in general that I'm highly sensitive to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And now, if we look at highly sensitive to what's going on, can you see how resistance would play a part in that?
Can I see how resistance would play a part?
Well, if we use an image, there's a strong wind,
uh-huh.
And the window is all the way open.
Mm-hmm.
The wind just roars through. Okay? If the window is closed, then the window will shake, rattle, carry on. And everywhere in between that, you get a different level of wind passing through, wind hitting the window, and feeling the impact.
Okay.
So sensitivity to what's going on sensitivity to what's going on can be like an open window.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all my senses are there. Everything is plugged in, tuned up, turned on, and I'm fully alive and present. Or there can be, I am really sensitive to what's going on because I have all these exposed nerve endings,
mm-hmm.
and they keep getting touched by what's going on around, and so mm-hmm. I'm constantly reacting.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on around keeps hitting my system,
mm-hmm.
and it's unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you there.
Okay. And yours feels like number two choice.
It must, because uh-huh. it definitely doesn't resonate with the open window.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I find is then, in order to manage that somewhat, because eventually what happens is I get sick or mm-hmm. I get angry
mm-hmm.
and irritable.
Mm-hmm. Which, both of which have the wonderful result of keeping life and everyone at bay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Life becomes quite simple.
True.
Yeah. So after you hit one of those stages, then your experience of you is the only thing you're experiencing.
Right.
Before, it would seem that you are experiencing other people, other things, circumstances,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which I would say, technically, is not true.
Will you say that again?
That what you're actually experiencing in that increasing irritability, mm-hmm. If we could use that word,
uh-huh.
you're always experiencing your reaction to what's going on.
Right.
It appears that you're experiencing other people, other things, but technically you are always experiencing your reaction to what's going on.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Which after a while becomes intolerable.
Mm-hmm. And what I tell myself is that I'm worn out and I'm worn down.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to rest
mm-hmm.
and pull away from all of this
stimulation. Yeah. Yeah. Which could be true.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, it is true in that it is your experience. Now, is it necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Is it terminal?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Right.
But it is your experience.
Right.
It is how you're experiencing life. If you, if you're by yourself, you don't react in the same way.
Not as much, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I do see that it limits how much I get to participate.
Oh, absolutely.
And
it controls your whole life.
I'm beaten up for,
yes.
This isn't a real life. What are you doing?
Yep.
So I can't really win on the other side of it.
That's right. That's right. And I would suggest that you are doing the absolute perfect thing to be doing under these circumstances, which is, you are paying attention to, becoming aware of, exactly how this is done to you.
Hmm.
And in my experience, that's the doorway to freedom.
So just keep watching.
Keep watching. Keep watching. Go on many, many three-day trips. As many as you can manage. If you can't go on a trip, have people over.
Okay. Yep, that's the other one.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. And so you just keep watching how you go from one state to the other state. Just watch. Watch where the tension grows in your body. Watch, watch as you tighten up. Watch what the voices say, where they start, how they progress to intolerable, emotionally, what happens with you. Yeah, watch the whole thing. Because it's a sequence, right? Over and over and over.
I'm sure.
And has this been going on all your life?
To varying degrees.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes more than others.
Mm-hmm. But if you look back, you can recall that getting angry or getting sick was a result of certain things that would happen in your life. So you learned this as a child. This is a childhood survival system. People get too close. People are pushing. They're annoying. They're invading. They're infringing. You have a couple of surefire techniques for getting rid of them, getting space, getting distance, getting control of your environment again. And, of course, I would say that what's going on now is that that childhood survival system is threatening your survival as an adult.
Yeah, that definitely is cutting off my life experience. And it's odd because there's some, I do see the part in my body about, you know, I'll wake up on day three and I can't figure out what I want for breakfast. I'm not annoyed by it, but it's like my brain is on mud.
Everything's just shutting down. Now, at the monastery and various other places we go, we do a process called process mapping. And have you run into that?
I have.
Okay. I would really encourage you to do the most detailed process map in the history of process mapping on this. Okay, so you start off at whatever point you feel as normal as you can feel.
Okay.
All right. And for, you know, with all of us, that's arbitrary, right? So, but, you know, there are times when we feel more like us than other times. So you start off there, put how you feel on a post-it, and then you watch the first change. Okay, now the voice is saying that. Put that on a post-it. Now I'm feeling this. You put that on a post-it.
And could I do it either at the time or remembering it?
I would encourage you to create a very large place on a wall somewhere. Get lots of post-its.
Okay.
Create a lot of space for yourself so that you can fill this in minute detail. So, yes, you can certainly do it from memory. Put the steps that you can remember, but make it spacious because there are a lot of subtle little places in between those steps that you're going to want to fill in. Okay, until you become such an expert on the movement from there to there that there are no questions for you.
This is getting interesting.
Yeah, you see how every nuance of it happens. Every little subtle, tiny little movement, you're right there. And your relationship with it will be very, very different. And you'll keep us posted, huh?
I will.
Very
posted
good.
Indeed.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, it occurred to me as you were talking that it's dangerous to conditioning to be so connected to life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The image that I always go back to is Seven of Nine on Star Trek, where she goes, for all you Star Trek fans, she goes into her little phone booth and she regenerates. Okay, she just stands there and she's plugged into this machine and she's regenerating. And it is such a perfect image of conditioning. Conditioning has to get away and onto its own little program. And of course, what's required for that is unconsciousness on our part. So we have to be distracted. We have to go into habitual reaction places. This is where people overeat, drink, do drugs, whatever it is, sit in front of the television set, just go unconscious, and conditioning goes into its little phone booth and plugs in and it gets itself recharged to come back out. And so we can watch ourselves in through those kinds of patterns, which is, you know, what Laura is getting ready to do. She's
Absolutely.
Getting ready to see how she gets talked into going into that phone booth. Okay. So that
Yes.
conditioning can have her outside of life to itself, having access to all of her time, energy, and attention so that it can do what it needs to do to reassert itself as the dominating force in her life.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what it's trying to do with all of us all the time. So that attempting to stay conscious and stay present, truly, basically the only thing that we attend to if we want to be here and present rather than distracted into conditioning's maintenance system.
Yes. So it's a full-time job to stay here.
Oh, yeah.
Be present.
And, you know, the beatings, of course, that's just huge. That's just
kind of a
no-brainer for most folks. You know, I'm getting a beating, I'm going to go unconscious.
Yes.
So to be beaten up, then, you know, we just, I can't deal with this. And just turn our lives over to unconsciousness, which is the point of the beating. You know,
yes.
We believe that the beating has to do with something we said or done or, you know, an error that we've made. It's not. It's just a way to get us to go unconscious so that conditioning can reassert itself.
Yes. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. We have another caller on the line here. I'd like to welcome Elizabeth from Berkeley. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good evening.
I saw you guys in Sacramento.
Oh, wonderful. A fun town.
Yeah. So, last time you were on the radio, you said, someone asked what we could do for homework kind of stuff, and you said, notice a time where you judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And one, you know, kind of one pattern of judgment and then see if you can be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Turn that self-criticism into a moment of kindness for
right.
yourself.
Uh-huh. So that was good exercise.
Good. Did you do it?
And I did. And that's what I'm calling about. The area that's the most set up for me to judge is around some health stuff that I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And just judging that that's, you know, where I am at this point. Also, how it somehow, and what you said before really helped me see some of this, but I think control was one of my childhood survival, and how that sometimes manifests around health stuff is kind of an anorexia, super control thing with food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it definitely can be, all of that can be kind of a setup for conditioning to get a foothold in my mind.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine. If you're not paying very, very close attention from here to completely identified from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And conditioning knows very well what those sentences are and is pretty skilled at delivering them at the right moment.
Yeah. And it's often when I wake up in the night and then I'm more vulnerable then. And sometimes I've been working with your newest book, and I even did what you suggested, like write those questions out so that I could answer them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In the back, there were two parts that were especially helpful at the end of the book, but still, it just what you just said about this has become a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now here's the comforting thing. Ignorance and delusion used to be a full-time job.
What was it?
Ignorance and delusion.
Ignorance and delusion?
Yeah, yeah. And then we start to wake up, and then waking up becomes a full-time job.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's not like we didn't have a full-time job.
Ah.
Yeah, this is just more helpful to you.
Ah.
The other one was more helpful to conditioning.
Ah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, again, one of the things that to me is helpful, if you like to do this kind of thing, you get those sentences that conditioning delivers, and you probably know them intimately, so it wouldn't take you long to come up with them. You make a list, and in big letters over the top of the list, you write, "These are lies." And you put that list on your mirror and on your computer in the dashboard of your car or wherever you hang out. And every time you hear one of those voices saying one of those sentences, it serves as a reminder to bring you back here. And that's when you can deliver for yourself one of those kind moments. So use what conditioning has used against you for your own benefit. All of the ways that it's caused you to go unconscious and be afraid and try to hide out, let those be triggers to bring you back to the present and back to the experience that you want to have, which is kindness for yourself.
And could you, I feel my mind is just graying out as you're talking about this. Could you give an example of that, what you just said?
Sure. So maybe a voice says over and over to you, or regularly or periodically, why don't you have any control of yourself? You know, why can't you control yourself? Okay, which would probably could throw a person into just a frenzy of attempted self-control, which means punishment and deprivation and that sort of thing, especially if it's around control and anorexia and that like that. So then you recognize that voice. So then the voice comes in and says, why can't you get any control of yourself? Why can't you control yourself? You write that on your little list under these are lies. So every time, now you read that list, morning, noon, and night, right? You want that list always around. These are lies. So you hear that, and you are actually training yourself to say, oh, that's a lie. And then when you recognize that that's a lie, you come back to what you know is true for you. Okay, you come back to that place of kindness. Can you picture that part of it?
Yeah. I have been saying from your new book, this is conditioning, this isn't my authentic self.
There you go. And then add something that is an experience of authenticity. And make it be something that you know is true. You know, you're working really hard to wake up. You're a good and kind person. Yeah, not, you know, don't go off into something flowery that conditioning is going to be able to say, well, that's not true. You know, you just want to stick with what is authentic and true and real. You know, you're working really hard to wake up. Why don't you take this moment to come back to the breath? Take a nice, long, deep breath. Come back to your senses. Just stand here for a moment being really alive and appreciating the fact that you're alive. Good. Away we go again. Okay?
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, if your brain really grayed out, fogged out, these things are recorded, so you can revisit one of these conversations.
They're recorded.
They're recorded. So you can email us, and we can make a recording of this available to you. So no matter how many times conditioning tries to make your brains go gray, you can listen to it one more time until it comes in.
I'm actually recording it. So
good.
Good.
Very good. All right.
Okay,
thank you,
Sherry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Elizabeth was referring to your latest book, and that book is When You're Falling, Dive.
Yes.
For those of you who haven't heard of it.
Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility.
Acceptance, Freedom, and Possibility.
Three of our favorite things.
Yes. All about movement, sensations, what's going on in the body, and lots of worksheets around that. Great stuff.
Yeah. First, there's movement. Then there's sensation as that movement encounters our physical form.
Yes.
We have a label attached to that, an emotional reaction to that label, and a conditioned behavior pattern that goes with them. And we can learn to take those apart and break them down and realize that there's absolutely no truth in any of them.
Yes.
Which is one of those movements toward freedom and possibility that comes after we accept. it's a full one-stop shopping.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it goes movement, sensation, and then I like to draw a big, thick line before we
Labels.
Run into thought, emotion, behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very
yes.
good.
The other thing that occurred to me during Elizabeth's call is making visible whatever kind of hint is going to remind you and wake you up. Can be really helpful.
Absolutely.
For me, it has been.
And to use conditioning against itself can just become delightful.
Yes.
So it wants to hammer you over the head with this same little sentence to make you feel bad. Well, use it as a wake-up call to remind you to feel good.
Yes. We say it out loud, and it sounds ridiculous.
It sounds silly. And if it doesn't sound silly enough when we say it out loud, imagine saying it to the next adorable three-year-old who comes down the sidewalk and really get it, that, no, this is not, this is nothing but ruining my life. So that'll be my reminder to bring my attention back and notice the flowers and the sky and the clouds and how glorious it feels to be able to breathe and what a gift it is to be a human being and get here.
Absolutely. It's great being here.
Mm-hmm. Here is good.
Here's good. If you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a call at 650-723-9010. Coming up at 6 p.m., stay tuned for DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian. And at 9 p.m., we have the Bot of Euphony. And the phone is lit up here.
Good.
Can't talk
That's
fast
a very
enough.
Good thing.
All right. I'd like to welcome Marie-Louise from Palo Alto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, good. Can you hear me?
Yes,
absolutely.
We can.
All right. Actually, I was told another person would come first, but I'm here.
There you are.
That's good enough.
We never know in life. There are no guarantees. We have to be ready at every moment.
This is for sure. All right. Well, I had some interesting words when I called because I've never heard you speak before. And I called in when you were speaking with Laura, and I missed the beginning of what you were saying with her, but then you said some things that I thought were very interesting. And then I thought, I have been puzzling for a few days over something that concerns another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have counseled with many people. I am not a professional counselor, but it seems like many people seek me out to counsel with me.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to meet a person, and this is a man, and he has a situation where he, I guess it's called being an adult baby, and he wants to go back to baby stage, and he's a very accomplished person in his profession, and a person that, you know, I guess people would never dream of, that he has this thing in his life. And
you mean this thing, you mean this desire?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he not only has the desire, he does it a lot, because he can arrange his life in such a way that he can do this thing with diapers and sucking pacifier and things like this.
Hmm.
Which, anyway, I have heard about it a few times before, but I've never known a person who has had such a problem and who would go on with life being very successful in many ways. He's got children of his own. And, you know, anyway, because of what you said to Laura, there were a few things you said to her which just made me think, well, I've just kind of thought, who in the world would I ask anything of concerning this? And I'm asking you if you know anything about this kind of thing.
No.
No.
I do not.
Okay.
However, at this point in my life, nothing that human beings choose to do surprises me.
Me neither. Me neither.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious, instead of us speculating about him, I'm curious about you in this.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of what is it about this for you? What prompts you to want to pursue it? Is it kind of a, if you saw someone with turquoise hair, would you wonder, wonder?
No, I would probably just think of them as being maybe wanting to express themselves that way, and I wouldn't necessarily have to go to the bottom of understanding that.
Uh-huh.
But I maybe could understand a lot of it anyway. But that's not the issue here. It is more that we have a mutual friend. We have a lot in common in the work we do, this man and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to befriend him. And from having, after I had spoken with him over the phone, I first didn't know about this, that he has this particular thing to battle with, if I call it that. So anyway, we were going to meet again and talk again, mostly of profession, but also about other things, because we have a lot of similar backgrounds, even though we haven't.
So are you wondering whether you want to pursue interactions with this man? Are you wondering what is it about that that triggers you in some way?
You know, no, actually, let me say to you this. I think he would have liked for me, we recently were in the same or vicinity, but circumstances made it such that we didn't meet then. And we spoke afterwards, and I think that his wish would have been that he would have liked to find out if I could help him in any way. And
but Marie-Louise, from my worldview, mm-hmm. worrying about, focusing on, thinking about, talking about someone else mm-hmm. is largely unproductive. Because,
yes, it can be, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that it's what we are projecting onto this. In other words, bringing this back to you could be helpful. But focusing it on him really isn't. Because we don't know what he's doing, what he's thinking, what he...
No, of course
and
we're not.
No matter how many conversations we had with him, we still wouldn't.
Well, yes, I don't know that I could quite agree with that, because I feel like I've enough connections with many people that there's a lot of things we understand about people.
Well,
about
we would
feel.
We could project onto him, right? We go to our own experience of similarity or perceived difference, and we see our reaction, and we can learn a lot about that, and we can talk about that. But that's really not the same as knowing what's going on with somebody else.
Well,
so I'm wondering if we can bring it back to you and see what the issue is for you.
You know, I don't know if I could say that it is an issue for me, although many things in life come to me as being, I find myself interested. I wonder how come.
Yes.
And
so right. So this is bringing it back to your opportunity to see something about yourself.
I guess.
Yeah. Which every moment of life is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I look out. I see what I'm interested in. That says something about me.
Uh-huh.
Right?
But let's imagine that I was in India, and I have all kinds of little children around me, and they need something or other, then I would pretty much just kind of be there and zoom in on what do I need to do. And then I might go up and massage a child, or I might go up and just hold them, or I might go up and just
right.
look at them.
Now, for me, though, it would be important to realize that what you're doing is for you. Not actually for the child.
You think so always?
Yes.
That everything we do, everything Mother Teresa did, everything anybody
Absolutely.
Does is always for themselves.
Absolutely. In the sense that we are projecting onto others. We are projecting onto others. So I'm sure Mother Teresa would tell us that she would project a great deal of pain and suffering onto these people, and therefore would want to take care of them. I think she used to talk about it, in fact, that she saw each one of them as Jesus.
Well, okay, I don't want to bring in her religious side, because that could go nowhere or on forever, but, you know, I mean, I have seen her on film
okay.
where I've seen a child change into a different being just because she touched the child, you know, and that's not just... projection and such, that's actual, I think it's more than that, isn't it?
Well, now what I'm talking about is from her perspective.
Uh-huh.
Not, then I would have to project onto the child what happened with the child.
Okay, maybe my brain is a little bit closed here. I'm not entirely sure. Can I ask you one quick thing? And if you don't have time, you can just say so.
Okay.
I've been on for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. The last time I talked with this man, he said to me, well, what I really want to know is, ought, should I accept this, or should I try to figure out a way to cure myself? And I answered to that, well, of course, I have no way of answering that question. Obviously, the only one who can answer it is you. And maybe what you're looking for is tools, people, and maybe there's other things than people that can bring you to a knowing of that either, yeah, I'll do this for the rest of my life, or no, I don't think I need to go on like this. And from what you said to another person was sort of like a being stuck.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. Can I try to tie
of
this
course.
Together?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would say that what you said to him was exactly what I just said to you. That each of us is required to do the work to find out within ourselves what is going on with us.
Well, but I disagree with you on one thing.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, if you want to look at this, and then let me know what you see, I would love to hear.
All right. And
good.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Marie-Louise. One word came to mind to me during that call, and that is projection.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is what you were talking about directly also.
Yeah. To me, it's difficult, and maybe Marie-Louise will let us know what the next installment is.
Absolutely.
But that, I mean, that's the interesting thing to me about this fellow. I don't know who he is or what he's doing or
yes.
why or, you know, it could be the absolute doorway to eternal peace and happiness. I don't know.
Yes.
What I can look at and benefit from is what arises in me about that. Do I have opinions? Do I have judgments? Do I think it's a good thing, a bad thing? Do I think it's healthy, unhealthy? And how do I then relate to myself in the same kinds of ways? So if I decide that this is healthy, then that I'm not doing that. If it's unhealthy, where does that leave me? What else do I consider unhealthy? Who's making that decision? Who's making that assessment? So I think her encouragement to the fellow was wonderful. You
Absolutely.
Know, look into this, see what's going on with you about this, and see if you can get to a place of clarity about it, which, you know, with awareness practice, that to me, that's the great gift of everything that happens in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, part of my job is to take a break during the hour.
Uh-huh.
I've just been racing along here, oblivious to everything. So let's take a quick break. We have a caller to get back to, and we'll be back in just a moment. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Michael Gray.
That was kind of a compelling little service announcement that we were listening to.
Why don't you repeat it?
Well, actually, part of it was that I was talking to you while it was on, which was a big mistake because when I tuned in, I heard, are you watching more sex on TV than making love yourself?
Uh-huh.
And television's ending up, television isn't real, but the addiction to it is. So I'm going, after the show, I'm going to find out who those people were and hear more from them. That was kind of an intriguing little...
Absolutely.
Yeah. See, you can learn a lot.
You can learn
on
a lot.
This, on listening to this station. And I wish I'd been listening, actually, instead of running my mouth.
Listening to me.
Yeah.
Great. Let's get our next caller on the line here. I'd like to welcome Lisa from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. Well, I was calling because recently I've been looking at eating and myself
mm-hmm.
and compulsive eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to... what I did is you wrote a book called How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be.
Mm-hmm.
And so recently I chose that as my issue to work through the book.
Mm.
And because it's been an issue that's been with me for a really long time. And I thought it was about time to look at it more closely. So what I got to most recently, one of the questions, I just go along and I answer the questions. And one of the questions was about what would you have to give up in order to, and then my issue would be, not eating compulsively.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer that I got was really interesting. The answer I got was I'd have to stop being mean to myself. That's what I'd have to give up.
Uh-huh.
And it got me to a place where I almost couldn't understand the answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't tell you how glad I am to hear you say that, the answer that you got, because for a very long time, since there's nothing wrong with you came out, and doing the work that inspired me to write that book, I've been saying to people, if you didn't beat yourself up, if you didn't get a beating for it, why would anybody want to drink too much?
Right.
Why would anybody want to do these kinds of unhealthy, punishing things to themselves,
mm-hmm.
if a beating didn't result?
Right.
And for a long time, I've suspected that that, of course, was the secret to the whole thing. If the beatings would stop, the behavior would stop.
Right.
Because there's just no reason to do it. I think as physical creatures, we like to feel good. And eating too much doesn't feel good. Eating the wrong stuff doesn't feel good.
Right. Like today, I noticed it in my office. I've been eating what I thought was healthfully for about a week now. And today I got extremely stressed out. I was tired. And I was working, and someone had brought in Hershey Kisses. And in about 5 minutes, I ate about half a bag of Hershey Kisses. Just one after the other. Do you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
without even thinking.
Fast as you could unwrap them and pop them in your mouth.
Yeah, and, like, I hated to, like, walk away.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to come right back and have another Hershey Kiss. And I started thinking about, currently right now, my father is having some health problems, and a big issue for him is smoking. And unequivocally, if he stopped smoking, his health problems would, a lot better. They might not be such big problems. And I watch him and how he smokes and the guilt he feels in the smoking, and he's been doing it for 50 years now.
Mm.
And watching him do it, and I watched him and I saw my process with food. I don't know if my father would smoke if it wasn't bad to smoke. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The badness of it.
Yeah.
With the fact that he gets to come back in the house and go, I know I shouldn't be smoking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he gets to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
And
for me, it's the same thing with the Hershey Kisses.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the defining feature of self-hating behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It feels bad and it feels good at the same time.
Right.
It's abusive and it feels good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there we are. I get to have this pleasure and feel bad about myself.
Right.
Boy, it's sad, isn't it?
It is sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels sad.
Yeah.
I mean,
and to be trapped in that.
And it almost feels like I don't even know if I wanted 20 Hershey Kisses, but I put 20 kisses in my body. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
That's right. And here's the thing that I would say I know to be true for myself.
Mm-hmm.
The body did not want 20 of those things.
Right.
Years ago, I realized that... that the only thing I ever got out of anything was the last mouthful.
Right.
So I decided at one point that I would just eat the last mouthful of
uh-huh.
everything. You know, just have one bite of ice cream. There, that's the last bite. Because I got it that if I were operating out of that system of wanting something good in that sense, that there would never be enough of it. I mean,
right,
I would explode before I had enough chocolate ice cream.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But the body doesn't want it.
No.
Yeah, it's that
I mean, I wanted to take a nap, you know, is what I probably needed, you know.
Yeah.
Instead.
Or, as I'm fond of pointing out with that kind of thing, a little sweetness.
Right.
Which is
what I did want, because there I was. I was stressed out. I knew I had things to do. I knew that there was no end you know, in sight, you know. Mm-hmm. I still had 4 more hours of work to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and you're not getting what you want. Your needs are not being met.
Right. And so the part that's working with the book that you wrote is showing me right now, and that I'm starting to wrap my mind around, is the idea of, I think it's unacceptable that I can't stop putting 20 Hershey Kisses down my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I find it unacceptable.
Now, let me ask you this.
To shove everything in my mouth.
Let me ask you this, because uh-huh. that could come from two different places, right?
Right.
It could be it coming from a self-hating, it is unacceptable that you are such an out of control.
Yeah, we don't even need to go to the other option.
That's the one that's coming.
That's where it's coming.
Because, as you know, for the record, I have to say, it could be coming from a place of, it is unacceptable to me that you are being put through that.
Mm.
That you're being made to suffer in this way. That is really unacceptable. Could be
right.
coming from either place.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me, it's coming. For me, what I see often in my life is that it's unacceptable that you have self-hate.
Right.
I mean,
but no, from that same,
it's funny, but
it makes you a bad person.
But it is. It's unacceptable. It's uh-huh. unacceptable that you can't love yourself enough to not shove the 20 Hershey, and you can't help yourself out of this either.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's diabolical, isn't it? It's really ugly, 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 ugly. And there's no way. I mean, I'm projecting that if you could take that away from your father, you would do it in a heartbeat.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he could just really feel sorry for himself.
Right.
Getting addicted to something when he was ignorant of the ramifications, and then continuing to be addicted for years of addiction,
right.
not even having one bit of information that it wasn't good for him.
Right.
Not
right.
a bit.
Right.
And then now in this place and suffering the results of it, if you could just take that away from him, you do it.
Right.
Yeah. And yet for ourselves, we go to that, well, but, you know, this, then we listen to the voice that says, well, but it's not that way with you. You have a choice. You do awareness practice even. I mean, you call into radio shows where they talk about these things. You read those kind of books. There's really no excuse for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, I've got all the information, and still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what do I do with information? Like, I'd have to give up being mean to
myself. I'll tell you what. Now, this is not at all a manipulation, sort of. but I was just at a retreat in a beautiful place called Esalen last
uh-huh.
week, and I was telling folks at this retreat about a process that I learned. Came as everything of this nature does in life, you know, through a friend who said, I just came across the most fascinating thing. And when I heard about it, I mean, my eyes started rolling and I thought, that is the nuttiest thing. You know, it must have started in California. It could only happen here. My God, where do these people come up with this stuff? And then I was reading an article in a magazine about this very same thing. And they went through this whole deal about it. And it was a scientific magazine, actually. And they were giving statistics on this technique as compared to the results through talk therapy, through drug therapy, through blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And the success rates for this technique were just off the charts in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, the last paragraph of the article said, people who are researching this think that perhaps this is the explanation for why acupuncture works.
Oh.
Well, it got my attention. Now, I have been, and it's called tapping. Okay. And I think that the official technique is called EFT.
EFT. F as in Frank.
F as in Francis, yes,
uh-huh.
or Frank, depending on your gender. T as in Thomas or...
Teresa.
Oh, Terry. Could be either, huh? So if people are listening and they want to look it up on the internet, I bet you can find it. The fellow who developed this is so... excited about it and so wants people to know about it because he believes that it can turn around any condition that you have. And the reason, he says, our ills all are a result of the fact that energy is trapped in the body.
Hmm.
which is the whole acupuncture connection, that energy is trapped in different meridians, different places in different meridians in the body, and that these places that we tap are the end points of the meridians. And by tapping them, it's possible to release the energy.
Okay? It's interesting that you say that, because I have noticed, I mean, you always are mentioning to look where energy is in the body.
Uh-huh.
The energy in my body is out of control right before I eat. It feels like I'm going to explode, and it feels
exactly.
like the only thing that's going to calm it down is to shove something in my mouth. Basically.
Which is really quite intelligent, because it works, right?
Right.
I mean, it's food is an anesthesia.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So you eat, and in fact, it does calm your system down. You drink
right.
alcohol, it calms your system down.
Right.
So all of the kinds of things that people get addicted to, they do have that energy-altering effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out. If you can find it on the internet, tap, 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 if you can. Anyway, this fellow is so excited for people to know about it that he gives it away. Okay, so you can download all of his research, how to do the process. If you ordered videos from him, you can make 100 copies to give to friends and relatives.
Wow.
So he appears to me, anyway, to be a very sincere sort of fellow. I personally find the tapping fascinating. So I would love for people listening to see if you can find it, try it, and then let's check in next week. Okay, so you tap for essentially the way it would go, even though I have an addiction to eating, blah, 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 blah. And he'll tell you how to finish that out and then show you where and how to tap. And I have personally found it absolutely remarkable.
Really?
So I want to hear from others.
All right.
EFT. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
There's no telling where we're going to go in this stuff, is there?
Wow. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to hear
just
on this show.
Never.
You just have to be there.
You have to be there.
You just have to tune
Absolutely.
In.
Tapping along with us.
Tap, 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 tap. We've tapped to the end of our hour.
Yes, we have.
I'd like to thank Lori and Jay for all their help today.
Always, always there in the sound booth assisting us.
Yes.
Selfless service.
Yes.
Putting up with this drivel week after week.
Rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank all of our callers and our listeners today. If you want to find out more about what Sherry's doing, please go to her website, which is sherryhuber.com. That's spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.com. If you want to send us an email in the meantime, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. Next up, we have DJ Deck with more great world music at the Cafe Bohemian in just a moment, actually. And then at 9 p.m., we have the Bot of Euphony. Please join us again next week.
We'll do our very best to be here with more interesting things to explore.
If the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise.
That's the one. Good night.
Good night.